Well, good morning, 2 Chronicles 20. We're going back to the Old Testament today. And looking at this story today, this is one of the epic battles in the history of Israel. And we're going to be talking today about King Jehoshaphat and how he led Judah to the victory here in this battle. Now, the reason this story is in the Bible and the reason it's important for us is not only the historical value, but when you go to the Old Testament and you read these stories and preaching from the Old Testament, I preach narrative. In other words, we don't have time this morning to, you know, go into every verse in a story like this, but I'll be pointing out some key verses in this chapter that will help us all. And what we do is we look for the principles, the spiritual principles that God has for us in a story like this. Now, why is this significant in our spiritual life and spiritual journey to talk about a battle that happened so many years ago? The significance is this. We can find guidelines. We can find principles. We can find truth from this story that helps us in the battles of life that we all face. And so today I'm going to be preaching about how we can overcome our problems. Now, none of us like problems. I don't like problems. You don't like problems. We like smooth sailing. We like everything to be smooth and sail along without any problems, but we know that life is not that way. So in this story, though, you know, what we see from Jehoshaphat really is his reaction to the problem that he faced. And that is really the key, I think, in understanding the story here today, is in his reaction to the problem that he faced. He faced a hopeless situation. He faced a situation that was beyond what he could work out, what he could do. He needed God. And he needed God's help in this problem that he faced. You know, it'd be very easy for me to say, well, the key to all the problems of life is to trust Jesus, and we could sing Invitation, Go Home. Well, I'm not going to do that. So, you know, we're going to talk about some principles here that will help us in the story. What I want to do is just go through here and read a few verses, and it'll give you some idea of what we're going to do today. Look at 2 Chronicles 20, and let's look at verse 3 and 4. And Jehoshaphat feared. So, see, that's his reaction to the problem. He's afraid. He doesn't know what to do with this problem. The problem is overwhelming in his life. So he feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. So he did the right thing. First thing we need to do is pray. So he's going to pray. And he proclaimed a feast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Drop down to verse 15. In verse 15, here's what the scripture has to say to us. In verse 15, God had sent a prophet to them to give them the word of the Lord. Verse 15, and he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Then look at verse 17 and verse 18, and then we'll come back and make some comments here. Drop down to 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Then verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So that gives you some idea about this chapter and what's going on here. What I wanted to do was to begin talking about the keys to this text, and then I'll get into the application of the story. Now, the keys to the text is simply this. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. If you look in chapter 20 here, verse 31 gives you some commentary on Jehoshaphat. The Bible tells us in verse 31 that he was king over Judah when he was 35 years old. He became king and he reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. The Bible goes on to tell us that he was a good king. Now, he wasn't a perfect king. He made some treaties that he shouldn't have made. He made some deals he shouldn't have made. But overall, he was a godly king. One verse that I found in talking about him was in 2 Chronicles 17:6. And listen to what the scripture says about him. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. What that means is he found pleasure in doing the will of God. He was obedient to God. His heart was toward God. The Bible says that he followed God in the ways of David. And so he was in that line of a godly king. So here's a godly king in Judah. He was betrayed by these Canaanite neighbors when Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land. These armies that were coming against Jehoshaphat now, what God told him to do is this. He said, don't mess with these guys. They're descendants of Esau. They're descendants of Lot. So don't bother them. Don't conquer them. Don't, you know, really go in and do a lot of bloodshed. And so they'd had this treaty of understanding among them that they wouldn't bother each other. And so here, what the Ammonites are doing and what the Moabites are doing, and if you want to throw in, I always like to throw in the mosquito bites. You know, that's part of all this stuff. if you throw in all them, then what they had done, they had broke this treaty and they were coming against them. So here's the scene. You have a mountain on one side and you have Jehoshaphat there and the army of Israel. And you had on the other mountain all these other armies that were going to come against Judah. And so Jehoshaphat knew that he was no match for all these armies that were going to come against them, so that was his problem. And so we'll talk about a little bit more about that. So what he had to do, he had to prepare the people for battle. And so they're going to prepare for this battle that is before them. What's interesting here in the story, too, that spoke to me was this. Do you realize that this story began in the house of the Lord? And when the victory was over, it ended in the house of the Lord. And that really spoke to me in a spiritual way. And so when we need help with problems, you know, where do we turn? We turn to the Lord. We come to the house of the Lord. We worship God. We pour our hearts out to Him. We pray to Him. And so in the bookends of this story, though, I see a very significant thing here of beginning with the house of the Lord, ending in the house of the Lord. He started with prayer. He ended with prayer. He started with prayer and worship. He ended with prayer, and he ended with worship. And so I said a lot to me about this story. Now, one of the key verses here, too, is seen in verse 12. And then I'll get into the application of what we're going to talk about today. Look at verse 12. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude, this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. So what's this story saying to us? This story is saying to us that when we face the problems of life, and we don't know what to do, and we've been there, we've all been there with those problems of life, You know, it could be anything. It could be financial. It could be with employment. It could be, you know, relationships. It could be any of those problems that we have. And so when we have those problems, what we don't know what to do and how to, you know, get through it and how to deal with it, then the Bible says what we're to do is turn our eyes on God and bring it to Him in prayer. So what are some practical things here in this story today? I want to share with you some spiritual principles, secondly, from this story. What are the principles for the battle of life? Number one is this. We've got to identify the problem. Now, Jehoshaphat's problem was this. It was the people of Ammon. It was the people of Moab. It was Edomites. It was all these people that were going to come against him. So that was his problem. So he identified the problem and he took his problem to the Lord. Now, the first thing we do with problems, you know, we try to solve them ourselves. And we think that we can handle the situation, and a lot of times we can't. So what he did, though, is what we need to do. The very first thing he did was to take this problem to the Lord in prayer. So you see a spiritual principle there. And he took that problem to the Lord, and the Lord is going to help him, you know, with this problem. So he took the problem to the Lord, and really, you know, what problems do, we do not see from the human perspective really what God sees with problems. Why do we have problems anyway? You know what problems do? Problems have a way of bringing us to God. They really do. Problems have a way of us depending on Him who we cannot see to bring about a solution in the reality of the thing that we can see. And so that's how this thing works. But it brings us to God. So this is what was bringing him, you know, to God. Now, listen. Sometimes the problem can be, it can be an issue beyond our control that we don't control. Sometimes it can be, you know, I've found through my struggle, sometimes it can be, the problem can be my own attitude about the situation. And I really couldn't see that until I got into the problem. And when I got into the problem, then God, you know, He taught me a lesson about, you know, my attitude about maybe the situation. And then, you know, it could be, you know, sometimes it could be, you know, people. We have a people problem. In the New Testament, Paul prayed over and over again, you know, for God to take that thorn away from him. He said, I have this thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times. You know what most Bible scholars believe about that thorn? They do not believe it was a physical problem. What they believe, it was a people problem. It was people that were lined up against the Apostle Paul to cause him heartache, to cause him pain, to cause him problem. And so we identify the problem, and then sometimes it's just spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare. And it could be that you're caught up in spiritual warfare and Satan's doing all he can to bring, you know, his army against you. Then just identify the problem and take it to the Lord. Then, secondly, is this, we admit that we need help. And that's what he's doing. He says, God, I need your help. We're no match against all these armies that's coming against us, so we admit to him, Lord, we need your help. You know the one person God will not help. There's one person God will not help. And that is the person who will not ask God for help. When we ask God for help with our problems, then through Christ, then he gives us the power, he gives us the strength, he gives us the wisdom to overcome the problem. And that's what we're talking about today. How do we overcome the problems? So we admit it, we admit we need help, and then we rely on God's resources here. You see, he says, my eyes are on you. In other words, I'm not looking at what I can do as king. I'm not looking at, excuse me, the resources of the nation of Judah, but I'm looking to you, God. And my eyes are on you. It's not on what I can do. It's not, you know, how I can fix this thing. But my eyes are on you. So he's doing that. And then the Bible gives us another principle here. And I read these verses. You see, he had fear about the situation. He was afraid. He didn't know what to do. And so God sent the prophet, and the prophet said, "Fear not." In other words, this relaxing faith. The battle's not yours. The battle's mine. I will fight this battle. I will do what you need to do to get through this battle. So he had to put faith in God. In preparing for this message today, I went to a book written by a man by the name of Ben Patterson. And the name of this book that he wrote was Finding Hope When God Seems Silent. And very good book, and I was reading it. And so Ben Patterson, in this book that he wrote about when God seems silent, and he's talking about the problems of life, and you know, when we pray and it seems like God doesn't hear, but he does. He gave this illustration. He was in Yosemite National Park, and he and his buddies were going to climb a mountain out there, and they ascended up to about where they had like maybe 2,000 more feet to go to get to the peak of the mountain. And there were four guys with him, and two of these guys were very accomplished in climbing mountains and everything, and Ben, you know, he'd been out there and he'd climb, but he wasn't as experienced as they were. And so the two experienced guys said this: "What we're going to do, we're going to climb ahead and we're going to go on to the top." Well, Ben, you know, he didn't want to be outdone. His buddy was there with him. So he said, "What I'm going to do is take a shortcut." You know, he wasn't going to let these guys beat him. Well, that was a mistake. When he took the shortcut, he kind of got lost on the side of that mountain. About an hour later, his buddies came back and they found him. And he was in a position on that mountain where he needed to be rescued. And so the experienced climber, one of them, took his axe and he chopped an axe hole in that snow-faced mountain. And he says, "What you're going to have to do is put your feet in here." And see, the tendency is, you know, if you're going to be rescued, to lean forward. And he said, "Don't do that." He said, "That's not the thing to do." He says, "What you've got to do is just lean back and trust me." Now, that's a scary thing to do. But he said that's what he had to do to be rescued. Do you understand what faith is? Faith is trusting God when we can't see it. Faith is believing in Him when we don't know the answer. Faith is just leaning back and trusting Him and say, "God, you know, the battle's yours. It's in your hands. Lord, I don't know what to do." And so that's what he's doing. Now, hearing the story too, you know, what is it to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? What does it mean to stand still? Verse 17, to stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Well, if you drop down in verse 20 here, here's what the answer is. What does it mean to stand still? Does it mean that we have no responsibility in the battle or anything like that? No, it doesn't mean that. But here's what it means. Listen to it in verse 20. Believe in the Lord. So what does it mean to stand still? It means to have faith in God. It means to have the attitude of confidence that even though that we cannot, we don't know what to do, we don't know what the answer to the problem is, that we're going to believe in the Lord. And number two, look at it here, in verse 20, what is it to stand still? It's not inactivity on our part, but it's to believe in the Lord, to trust Him, and to believe His prophets. What's that? The Bible. The Word of God. The promises of God that He has given us. We believe in the promises of the Bible. So we believe in Him, we trust Him, and that's what it means to stand still and see His salvation. And then number six, we thank God in advance. They had a big worship service here, and they thanked God in advance for the victory and the battle before the battle ever began. You know what the prophet told Jehoshaphat to do? He said, what I want you to do, I want you to get the choir together, the singers. And he said, you put them at the front, you let them go before you. And they were singing praises to God and worship to God. They're having a worship service even before the battle begins. When they got to the place, when Judah got to the place where the battle was going to take place, you can read it here in the chapter. What they found was this. Verse 24, when they got there, they found dead bodies all over the place. Verse 25 again, they found dead bodies all over the place. The Bible says in verse 25 what happened was, or in the following verses there, what happened was that God sent an ambush among the Ammonites and the Moabites, the Edomites. In other words, there was confusion among these nations. They killed themselves, or the angel of the Lord killed, whatever happened. And then the nation of Judah left there with great victory. I was reading this week, and I ran across this story. There was a man by the name of Mark Ashton Smith. Was 33 years old. And he was a very intelligent man, and what he would do, he would go to Cambridge University, and he would give lectures and things. And so his hobby was that he liked kayaking. And so he went kayaking one day, and what happened was the kayak capsized. And he couldn't get it turned back over. And he was in a bad situation. His father was a military leader. And his father was at some base, and he was, you know, with his outfit, and they were going through training. Mark had his cell phone with him in that kayak. And his first thought was, you know, I'll call my father. But how could his father help him? Here he is, you know, capsized, and his father's off somewhere, you know, with his troops training. But he called him. And the call went through. And his father answered the phone. And immediately what his father did was to call the Coast Guard. This Coast Guard station was located 1 mile from where Mark had capsized this kayak. 30 minutes later, the Coast Guard came and they rescued him. Now, what's the point of that illustration? Here it is. The first thing we need to do when we find ourselves capsized is to call on our Heavenly Father and to pray to Him and to trust in Him and to say, Lord, here it is. You know, I don't have the answer. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this, but my eyes are on You. You know, the greatest problem really that humanity faces is the separation that we have from God because of sin. But I want you to know this. According to 1 Corinthians 15, we have victory in Him because the victory was won at Calvary many, many years ago. And so that is our resource. That's our victory. I mean, we don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to live separated from God. We can have victory. And in the battles of life, what we need to understand, Just like he said to Jehoshaphat, the battle's not yours, the battle's mine. I have already won the battle for you. What he wants us to do is to put faith and trust in him. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to know you can have that relationship. You can win the victory this morning over sin by trusting in Jesus Christ and leaving here with his forgiveness. As believers, we need to understand in the battles of life that we face, our victory is in Christ. He has won the victory at Calvary. Now you think about Calvary. You think about the victory that was won there and what Jesus Christ did at the cross for us. Friend, he can help you with your problem. And he can help you in the battles of life. If he can do that for us and meet the need of the greatest problem that we have, then all these other problems can be laid at his feet. And that's what this story says to us. Let's stand together for our prayer. Lord, we just thank you today for this story. And what a great story this is. Father, today we all face battles. And it's not anything that's new to you, because you understand and you know. And you know where we all are today. And Father, I just pray that we would learn from this story today that the very first thing we need to do is come to you. The first thing we need to do with our problems is to pray. Lord, we need to seek your help. We just need to lay everything at your feet. Put our faith and trust in you, because you are God. Lord, there is no problem that you cannot solve. There's no difficulty that we face that you cannot help us get through. And Lord, today I just pray for all of us that we would learn the story that Jehoshaphat learned, and that is that we need to put our faith and trust in you. Lord, many times we're in the situation that he was in. We don't know what to do. We don't know what the answer is. But Lord, our eyes are on you this morning. For those who need to come today and trust Christ as Savior, I pray that they would come and say yes to Jesus Christ. I pray today that they would come and put their faith and trust in him as Savior and Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.